The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, let's turn to that story we've been covering it throughout today on News Talk. Over 300,000 people in arrears on their electricity bill in December. Henry McKean is asked, is it time to bring back credits?
Russia invaded Ukraine 4 years ago, and since then, electricity prices have been sky high. Do you understand why so many families have struggled?
Well, I suppose there's the war anyway, and then it has been a very cold winter, so people need more heat, and yeah, we're not producing enough of our own electricity.
Energy security.
Yes, yeah.
How do you find paying your electricity bill?
It's a struggle all the time. Every week it's a struggle, yeah.
Every week it's hard to try and pay.
Definitely, yeah.
And does it surprise you that that many across Ireland are struggling to pay and they're late on paying? Over 300,000 were unable to pay their bill in December.
No, definitely not. It's so common. It's unbelievable now. It's disgraceful.
Should we bring back the credits?
100%. Oh, 100%, yeah. Help out. Anything that can help is a bonus. Anything. Working full time and still can struggle. Still struggling.
It can be sore because it just keeps on going up and up every time, you know.
So you find your electricity bill sore to pay?
Yeah, it is sore. Yeah, it's becoming a lot more painful. So it is.
And it was a cold winter.
It was a cold winter, yeah. So we start to feel a pinch of that now and it's coming up next couple of months.
It's a case of going hungry, paying your electricity. You either get a meter off them, installed off them, and pay by the week and are ready to go.
And that works for you?
That'd work for everybody. At least you'd have some money to buy food for the kids and yourself and pay some other bill.
Okay, Henry McKean reporting there. We're joined for more on this by Maureen Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the ESRI. Maureen, over 320,000 households in arrears. Do we know, do we have any idea how many of those are can't pay and how many of those are opting not to pay?
No, we don't have those kind of data, certainly not from arrears data. We do have other data from the survey on income and living conditions where we kind of ask more subjective questions like, are you in arrears in a bill, which is the same, but also did you have trouble heating your home? And certainly the number of people who answer positively to having trouble heating their home is it's nothing like 15% of the population. But something like, could you have paid your bill and didn't, you directed the money towards something else? We don't have data on that at all.
Okay. There is an issue about energy prices here in Ireland. We seem to be high up the league table, European league table, when it comes to energy prices. And a lot of people will make the point as well, justifiably, that if you go back 20 years, when there was much less competition in the market, our energy prices were a lot lower. Can you explain to us why that is?
So we have some idea of some of the drivers, but we can't explain all the gap, not with the data we have. What we do know is that Ireland is a massive outlier in Europe in terms of the amount of electricity that we generate from gas. So that's the big difference for between now and, say, 20 years ago. A huge amount of electricity comes from gas, and gas got very, very expensive. So we're super exposed to high gas prices. Then there is also the fact that we do have less competition than in other European countries, particularly on what we call forward markets. So this is when companies sell and buy electricity to and from one another ahead of time. There's not so much of that type of trading going on in Ireland compared to other European countries. And then there's also the fact that the network costs are relatively high in Ireland relative to other countries. And this isn't because our grid is super duper high spec. If anything, the opposite is true. We think it might be somewhat driven by the fact that we have a huge amount of one-off housing in Ireland, again, compared to other countries. So that means we just need more wires in order to get the electricity to every home. So all of those things just add up.
Interesting. We had a guest on the show a few days ago arguing that the government should invest more in rural Ireland, not in rural urban centres, but in rural Ireland. The argument against that, I suppose, that I was putting is that it leads to higher costs, and this would seem to be another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's rural Ireland isn't all one-off housing. I think the most important thing is to have good planning in place. And this applies to homes as well as to the electricity system.
I think there was many years where 50% of the houses built in this country were one-off housing. So good planning isn't something we've had. Loads of texts coming in already on this morning. Can I just put one or two of these to you? Because there's some really interesting ones. This listener makes a really good point. It says, Ireland is a small market. Competition has not worked to lower prices. It just meant we had to pay for multiple overheads of multiple suppliers. Is there any truth to that? Because it did seem when we just had one electricity provider, our energy costs were lower.
So, well, like I said, our energy costs were lower, yeah, when we had one electricity provider, but also when a much smaller proportion of our electricity was coming from gas.
Right.
So we can't really disentangle those. Has competition been a net benefit for the Irish consumer? It's a good question. It's one we're trying to answer on the wholesale side. It's really hard to answer on the retail side. And that is something that is, it's really hard to get under the hood there, because obviously none of the companies are going to hold their hands up and say, here's our profit margin. But what I would say is there are kind of some telltale signs, and the fact that our prices are as high as they are is maybe a telltale sign. We liberalized our market in a certain way. Other countries liberalized their markets in different ways. It remains to be seen whether or not we did it in the best possible way. But I wouldn't say that that you can explain everything here by the fact that we have a liberalised market.
Another listener makes a good point. How many electricity arrears are amongst the 40% who don't switch supplier each year and are so missing out on large discounts? I mean, that is an absolute no-brainer, isn't it? You should switch your provider every year and you will get a sizable discount when you do so.
Yeah, particularly these days. I mean, we've been recommending that people switch their supplier for, you know, over a decade. But at the moment, given how high prices are, there are really substantial savings to be made. So if you've been with your electricity provider for more than a year, you should switch. It takes 2 seconds. You need to know your MPRN, which is your meter point reference number, and it's written on your bill, and everything else you need to know, you already know.
Your name and address. You could save like many hundreds of euros doing that every year.
You could.
It's an absolute no-brainer. The issue, you heard people talking there, and Sinn Féin have called for the return of those energy credits. What's your take on that?
So what the energy credits seemed to have done was, if we look at when the energy credits were in place, arrears were rising in gas faster than they were in electricity. And of course, the energy credits came straight off the electricity bill. So what that would suggest is that cash injection, the fact that it went straight onto the bill, kind of acted as a buffer there and prevented people from falling into arrears. I suppose the problem with the energy credits was really the fact that they were universal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got just over 300,000 households in arrears, which is really, really high. But there are over 2 million households in the country. So it's quite a blunt instrument to say absolutely everybody gets €100, €200, whatever it is, in order to benefit 15% of households who seem to really, really need it. And then, so you could say, okay, well, let's try to do more targeted measures, but instead of just doing it through the tax and welfare system, maybe we should do it through bills directly. That's quite difficult administratively, but there's also something a bit paternalistic about it. Essentially, the government saying, we don't trust you to spend your own money in the way that you think is best for your family.
Okay.
We're going to make you spend this much on electricity. But that's not really an economic question. It's more of a philosophical one almost.
Yeah. Final question. What should we be doing to help the situation? What should the government be doing to help the situation?
The poorest section of our households, the lowest income people, are the ones who are suffering the most, not just in energy, but across the board. So it's always about trying to target the resources that we have toward those who are most in need. At the moment, we're kind of doing the opposite. So the VAT cut in electricity was maintained in the last budget. That's a very blunt instrument, and it disproportionately goes to those who use the most electricity, who are the highest income.
More wind?
Yeah, absolutely. And more grid to get that wind on cheaper. It is lowering our prices by more than the subsidy cost.
Okay.
We can get it built cheaper. If we could, it would be even better. But the big problem right now, it's not wind, it's gas, really.
Maureen Lynch, Senior Research Officer with the ESRI. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.